Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We are starting the second hour with one of my favorite guests. Let me tell you about this lady, Diana Furchtgott-Roth. Diana has been involved from an economic standpoint with the federal government going back as far, if I'm not mistaken, Diana, as President Reagan. Diana, her probably the most advanced title that she held within the government was you were the chief economist for the Department of Labor.
That's correct.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, you worked for Presidents Reagan, Bush Sr., and Bush Jr., is that correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay, and Diana, you are concerned with what's going on today vis-a-vis the labor situation in the United States. Let's talk about that. Okay.
I'm really concerned about the high level of unemployment, 10.2% unemployment rate, 15.7 million Americans unemployed, teenage unemployment rate of 28%, African unemployment rate of 15.7%. But what's even more troubling is that the bills in front of Congress right now don't seem to be doing anything to help the employment situation. Rather, if Congress passed these bills and they were signed by the president, they would make unemployment worse rather than better. They would raise our unemployment rate rather than lowering it. And that's very troubling to me.
Diana, I'd like you to explain that to our listeners, if you would. Why is that the case?
Because the three major bills in front of Congress right now, there's the health reform bills that would cost $1 trillion, that would raise taxes and stop small businesses from investing. The House bill would put an 8% tax, payroll tax, on workers if the employer did not provide the right kind of health insurance. And health insurance qualifies as the right kind.
Mm-hmm.
So if the top tax rate on our most productive small businesses went up to 45%, as the House is discussing, and then the employers had an 8% payroll, that would discourage further hiring.
Mm-hmm.
It would make hiring more difficult. It wouldn't make anyone want to hire more workers. Then there's the cap-and-trade bill. If you look at what happened to our economy after the OECD raised oil prices in the 1970s, our economy went into years-long recession.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we'd be doing the same thing by increasing energy prices with the cap-and-trade bill.
Yeah.
Finally, there's the Employee Free Choice Act.
Mm-hmm.
The Employee Free Choice Act would make it much easier for unions to intimidate workers. It would take away the right to a secret ballot. It would impose mandatory arbitration with a mandatory contract to be held for 2 years. That also would reduce hiring. It would mean many employers, if they had a choice of opening a plant here or offshore, they would choose to open a plant offshore.
Okay, so we're talking about three issues. Number one, health reform. Number two, the cap and trade. Number three, the Employee Free Choice Act. Okay.
That's right, yes.
I want to talk a little bit about I'm in complete agreement with you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about health reform. The general consensus right now seems to be split between, yeah, it's going to pass, no, it's not. What's your opinion on that?
That's because there's a 50% chance of it passing. I saw Bill Kristol last week. He said the chance of passage was about 50%. And I'm very good at predicting the past but not the future, so I don't know what's going to happen to the health reform bill. But I know that the Democrats have a very hard time with their constituency. This isn't a matter of Republicans not passing the bill. It's a matter of some Democrats want a federally funded abortion procedure. Some Democrats don't want it. Some want a public option. Others don't want a public option. So it's even difficult for Harry Reid to keep his coalition of 60 Democrats together, even though he has approximately 60 Democrats. Of course, there are a couple of independents, Joe Lieberman and Bernie Sanders, but he is having a very hard time getting his group forward. And it's going to be interesting next week, that debate. There's going to be a number of amendments going through. It'll be interesting to see what happens with those. And just, can the Democrats come to an agreement on this, which right now they can't? the reason they cannot is because the measure is so unpopular.
Yeah.
Americans know it's going to raise the deficit. These bills cost about $1 trillion each.
Sure.
That's with phony accounting measures.
Right.
The phony accounting measures include savings from Medicare, about $400 billion in the Senate bill, about $571 billion in Medicare savings in the House bill. Now, if the savings do go through, that will decimate Medicare. It'll take money from Medicare to a new entitlement program when Medicare is in deficit. So that would be disastrous to seniors. If it doesn't go through, if the Medicare cuts don't go through, and there's good reason to believe they won't go through, because right now Medicare is supposed to be reimbursements, Medicare reimbursements to physicians are supposed to be cut by 10% a year because the program's in deficit. Every year Congress passes a new law overriding its previous law saying that Medicare reimbursements should be cut. So if they're not even cutting it by 10% when they're supposed to be doing it under their own laws, why would they cut it by 25% in 2011 as they're proposing to pass a new law?
Yeah.
So say that these deficit cuts in Medicare do not go through. The deficit balloons by $571 billion over the 10-year period. We don't get those savings that they are writing into the bill. So either way, this bill is a disaster. People realize that. They're opposed to it. They're telling that to their senators. They're telling that representatives. That's why these senators are having such a hard time voting for this, because they're hearing back home that it's not a good idea, that health care is going to get worse, the deficit is going to get bigger, and they're going to hear more of that this Thanksgiving weekend. They hear more of it right now.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I have been, I think I'm pretty well informed on this particular issue, for, among other reasons, because I'm in the senior category. I'm in my mid-60s. Specifically, I'm 65, and I am getting today incredibly good health care coverage, you know, between Medicare and between, you know, a supplement that I have for a very reasonable price. I am getting incredible coverage. I don't want to lose that. Now, the public option, to me, I don't think that's the way to go. And the reason I say that is because I don't think any rational human being would say, you know, would dispute the fact that, yeah, there are some folks out there who need some help to get insurance. But the public option is basically doing one simple thing, and that is it's the road to ruin for private insurers. They can't compete with the government.
Just like the Medicare program was the road to ruin for insurers who insured seniors back in the 1960s. There were many private insurance companies that insured seniors, and then they all dropped out of business. And now we have Medicare, which I'm glad is doing a good job for you. There's also Medicare Advantage programs that many seniors enjoy because it collects all their health insurance in one place, all their specialists, it shares records. But the both plans would decimate these Medicare Advantage programs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus take more money out of the Medicare program, lower reimbursements to physicians, which means it would be harder to get an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
There are some physicians who don't take Medicare patients anyway. Cuts in patient physician reimbursements would make that even more likely to happen.
Yeah. We are headed down a road that, to me, is terribly frightening. I did a significant amount of research on this medical bill, and that included talking to a number of physicians, you know, physicians in private practice, and to a person, they all said, some changes need to be made, but we don't want more government intervention. It just simply doesn't work. Listen, we're going to get back to this subject with a gentleman by the name of Brent McMahon, one segment down the road. Stick around, listen to what he has to say. Diana, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, it's great to be on your show. It's great to be on your show, and I hope all your listeners call their senators, call their congressmen, and tell them to vote against these bills.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy. Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. You know, we talk a lot about mining companies, investing in mining companies on this program, among other things. And I, you know, it's interesting for me to talk about that, but I've got a lot of expertise in that area, and I know that a lot of our listeners don't. And so we're going to have a little Geology 101 here. Professional exploration geologist Brent Cook
is going to talk about how he evaluates mining companies. And Brent, you know, what we're looking for here is just what can people do, what do they need to look at without being too technical, so that they have a good feel for what this company that they're considering possibly to invest in is all about.
Well, I think if you haven't got a technical or geologic background, you've got to rely on management. And by relying on management, I mean, who are these people? What's their background? Are they honest? Can you get references for them? And then from there, it's management's job to explain to you so you can understand what they're actually looking for, what simplistically the geologic setting is, and what it actually is going to be worth if they're successful in finding the deposit they're looking for.
How can you believe them?
I think it's tough, but if someone really understands what they're looking for and is sincere, they can explain it to you so that you get a sense that, okay, it's worth such and such. They need this many ounces. And they need to tell you as well, not just what they're going to find, but what it's going to cost to get them to that point, what it's going to cost to mine this thing more or less, to build the mine. Basically, you want to hear a net present value calculation based on what they're looking for that makes sense and is reasonable.
Okay, now, I am firmly convinced that business is business. You know, let me give you a couple of examples. I was a director of a bank for 22 years, and I learned very quickly in my tenure as a member of the board of directors that there was really very little basic difference between running a bank or running a clothing store. Now, retail clothing store. Now, that sounds ridiculous, but it really isn't when you realize it's all about the income statement. It's all about the bottom line. Doesn't matter if you're selling suits. It doesn't matter if you're selling mortgages. And I think to a very large extent, the same is true in the mining industry.
It should be. It really should be. And too many investors don't take that into consideration. When I look out at a property and look at a rock, I do basic net value calculation on that. I want to know what is the margin. Ultimately, it's the margin. That's what the major mining companies look for. And that who is who I would like to be able to think that my junior exploration company is going to sell their property to.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It should be about the margin. But too many people look at it as sort of a dream. If someone's going to find, you know, 5 million ounces and yada, 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 it's great. But it doesn't matter if it's not economic.
No, it makes no difference whatsoever. I mean, if it's non-economic, you're right. It makes no difference whatsoever. So basically what you're saying then, Brent, again, and I kind of want you to repeat this, but in order to separate the wheat from the chaff, let me start out by saying, number one, you really have to evaluate management. You need to check them out. Do they have experience? Do they have valuable experience? Have they been successful before? What's their educational background? What's their work background, etc.? Number two, the property. How can the layman evaluate XYZ Gold property of XYZ Gold Incorporated and decide whether or not there's an asset there?
That's a really, really tough thing for someone to do. Geology and minerals exploration is probably one of the most complex businesses sort out, because you're dealing with things that you can't see, and you're guessing at what's underneath the Earth's surface and that sort of thing. There's three articles on my website that discuss what to look for in geologists, what to look for in resource calculations, and in drill holes. Essentially, what you need to do is get the sense that the company is providing full disclosure. If they put out a news release, are all the drill holes there? Are there maps? Are there sections? Does it, you know, if all the information is presented, you've got to, you weeded out at least half the companies right there. And you've got to assume that if someone doesn't get the information.
I missed that. How do you weed out half the companies there?
Disclosure. Someone puts out a news release and it doesn't include all the drill holes.
How do you know if it doesn't include all the drill holes?
You've got to guess, but a lot of times you see highlights, drill hole number 5, 8, and 13. You've got to wonder what happened to the other 12 drill holes, right?
One would think.
You could call the company and say, where's the map?
Right.
Where are the drill holes? Was this drilled before? You know, those sorts of things. They should be put out to you. If they're not put out to you, they're hiding them.
Yeah. It's an interesting business that we're in. The amount of profit that The amount, let me use the word potential profit in investing in junior mining stocks is huge, but I think a lot of people don't realize that the chances of success, I would say, are probably 10%. I mean, am I low?
You're way generous.
I would say
1%.
1%.
Realistically, yeah. I mean, Mother Nature's been very generous to geologists in the Vancouver mining industry. She's put anomalies all over the world. The gold isn't worth $11.50 an ounce because it's easy to find.
No, gold is not worth $11.50 an ounce because it's easy to find, or, as importantly, because it's particularly easy to mine. Let's talk a little bit about gold, but before we do that, I want to say, you know, if you folks that have an interest in looking at companies like this, number one, go to Brent's website, www.explorationinsights.com. We also have Brent's banner on our website, so that's a pretty easy way to get it. Brent is also the newsletter writer of the week this week, and that's that fact is front and center on our homepage. Okay, buddy, gold, what do you think? Going to continue an upward move, the price of gold?
You know, that's the toughest question out there.
Last time I asked you, you said it wasn't going to get this high.
You're right. I didn't think it would.
You've been listening to Paul Van Eeden. Okay.
Here's the thing. Gold is running up with everything else, with the stock market, with base metals, with real estate in Asia, and it's all liquidity driven. The banks are pushing out so much money, and it's just being rolled into everything. And I honestly don't believe that the fund managers and such that are buying gold are buying it because they don't, you know, they're into this fiat money, don't buy the fiat currency. They're not buying gold because it's money. They're buying gold because it's moving up. If and when we have a hiccup, if China turns out to be a bust, and there's a serious problem over there.
Well, when you say if China turns out to be a bust, got about a minute, what do you mean by that?
They're pumping out in the stimulus package, 25% represents 25% of their GDP. Loans from banks just this year alone are up 6% to $1.7 trillion.
In China.
In China,
yeah,
alone.
Sure.
That is not going into businesses. That's going into speculation. That always ends badly. When it does, I think we're going to see fear enter the market, and the dollar has historically been where people go when they get fearful.
You know, time is going to tell. I would have to respectfully disagree, only because, you know, I've been watching gold for a long time. I don't know squat about geology, but you know that. Everything I've learned about geology, I've learned for you. But when it comes to economics, I do know a little bit about that, and I have to tell you, I have to stick with my guns. I really, really think the price of gold is going to continue to escalate, and the reason I say that is because there is too much uncertainty in this world, and that's a driver for the price of gold. Al's going to be right back.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
I have owned every light you can think of, and my pack light is the one I refuse to leave home without.
That's what Jerry from Oregon said.
Your flashlights are the best. We bought some 3 years ago, and all three pack lights have gone through two hurricanes each, and they just keep going on and on.
And that's what Albert in Florida said about the amazing pack light. Pack light's multicolored calves come equipped with two high-powered LED lights, snap on to any 9-volt battery, and will last over 1,200 hours. Listen to what Jerry from Michigan said.
After carrying a pack light in my pants pocket for 2 years, It was bound to happen. The pants and the light went through the wash together, and it still works.
The Packlight has a 25-year warranty, starts at just $12.99, and is an excellent gift idea. Order yours today at 9voltlight.com or call toll-free 877-715-4448. Use coupon code RADIO and receive free shipping. Be prepared with a Packlight. Remember, 9voltlight.com or call 877-715-4448. 877-715-4448.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? You may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much HECM money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
Hey everybody, Alex Jones here. If you're looking for the perfect Christmas gift, listen up. This will make your holiday shopping very easy. This year, give a seed bank from one of our oldest sponsors, Solutions from Science, to your friends and family. Here's why. The Survival Seed Bank will give any friend or loved one the ability to grow a full acre crisis garden of nutritionally dense, life-sustaining food. And the Survival Seed Bank is not just a box of open-pollinated seeds. It's an indestructible, waterproof seed bank that can even be buried if we face a real meltdown. And here's the best part. All the seeds in the Survival Seed Bank go through strict germination testing, so you can be confident you're not buying old seeds. Give a Survival Seed Bank this Christmas by going to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or you can call 877-327-0365 to give the gift that produces an ongoing supply of life-sustaining food.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. To follow up on the interview that we did at the top of the hour with Diana Furchgott-Roth, I'm chatting with one of her colleagues, actually a good friend of hers, Brett McMahon. Brett is he's the vice president of a large organization called Miller Long Concrete Construction, but he's also a spokesman for the Associated Builders and Contractors. Brett is a very, very interesting individual. The trepidation, let's take out the word trepidation, let's say the fear that was expressed by Diana is echoed with Brent. And Brent, off the air when he and I were chatting, suggested that perhaps our listeners should take a look at a book written by a gentleman by the name of Jonah Goldberg. The name of the book is Liberal Fascism. I have since Brent and I chatted, ordered that book. There is also a website that Brent suggested that that our listeners take a look at. The website is, it's called the www.thesovietstory.com. There's some stuff going on that this particular website and also that Mr. Goldberg, some of the subjects that they refer to are explained in full there. They are actually subjects that to me are of great concern. Brett, number one, thank you so much for joining me. But number two, let's talk about why Al Corlin is concerned and why perhaps our listeners should be concerned.
Well, thank you for having me. When you get a situation where you have a government, very big businesses, and political-based institutions that are supposed to be there for the benefit of either an organization like labor or some of these you know, quote-unquote think tanks that you hear nowadays. When you get all that working together, we've seen this before. You know, that's the great concern, is that, you know, if you were to look back at, and one of the things in the book, the first book you mentioned that I highly recommend is a discussion of, you know, what Mussolini did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first real fascist country and government that we've ever had, where, you know, they worked together with big business in particular and to the benefit of the big businesses, and they were only, you know, allowed if they were going along with the program. If they supported the government, then they would work out some kind of profit, and then it really didn't become a violent regime until the inevitable economic collapse that comes from that kind of hand-to-mouth, you know, government with big business kind of scenario. That's when things change.
Well, if you could elaborate a little more explicitly, exactly, talk about the relationship and why it is not beneficial for society.
Well, because, you know, you end up fixing prices and things like that. You end up in a situation where everyone that has a vested interest in the status quo, the new status quo, that is, will lobby for it, will you know, make friends based around it, will do business that way, so that, you know, there's just kind of a steady roll of profit into the very large corporations. And any of the small business people and the entrepreneurism that really brings the dynamic effect to an economy, that really creates the next wave of things, is stifled and completely unable to compete against literally what are essentially oligopolies, you know, a giant government and corporate hegemony that you can't defeat as a small business person. I mean, whether it's the neighborhood baker in Italy of the 20s or you know, today's small construction company or small retail store. And that's where you end up in a situation where everyone loses, because it creates an automatic monopoly rent available to all pricing, and it automatically ruins the ability of the market to take effect. So not only are prices static or slowly rising, so are wages for those people that work in those industries, but there's no competition for any of that, and it creates a cycle that's utterly unsustainable, and that's, we've seen it over and over again.
Give me some.
It necessitates protectionism and everything. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and I'm really terribly afraid that we are headed that way.
Well, give me some present day examples of what you're talking about. Would you? I mean, the similarities between what went on in Italy, perhaps Germany, what's going on in our country.
You know, I'm disturbed by the amount of time that people, even like Eric Schmidt of Google or Jeff Immelt, especially of General Electric, ends up that way. You know, their entire revenue stream, not Google, of course, but GE seems to have an overwhelming majority of their revenue stream flows through government contracting and you know, government initiatives, whether it's green stuff or, you know, new this, that, or the other thing. That's a dangerous scenario for any company to be in, frankly. But more importantly, I guess, on the other side of the equation, you get this labor union, work with the government, and this administration is, you know, we literally hasn't been since FDR. I don't think we've had a president who is more beholden to and more, you know, openly affectionate towards what is now 7.2% of the American workforce. That's it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not even an order of magnitude a standard deviation on a bell curve. I mean, they're such a small portion, but they get so much. And
give me an example of what you're talking about, would you?
Sure. You know, the health care bill, for example, it creates a number of things in there that will directly benefit the Service Employees International Union, such as there are numerous panels and decision-making bodies that will standardize, you know, curriculum, training for healthcare professionals in every level.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be there to determine whether the wage rates were being paid and the benefit packages being offered by the employers in this case are actually up to standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's typical
mm-hmm.
Language. There is direct payoff to United Auto Workers Healthcare Benefit Trust, which is massively underfunded to the tune of about $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people out there who don't have healthcare right now, well, congratulations, you're paying for somebody else's, which is, you know, kind of nice, I guess, if you could get it. And there are, I mean, it's just there are myriad examples in just the big pieces of legislation, the green initiative itself.
Yeah.
The definition of a green collar job to organize labor and their compatriots at places like the Center for American Progress and the like. To them, the only green job out there actually requires a union label and a union membership.
Mm-hmm.
By definition, in the funding
mm-hmm.
for the training for these green collar jobs, they actually altered the Workforce Investment Act, which by its design was completely nonpartisan compared, you know, versus union and non-union, but they altered that to say that you must have a union member as a partner in order to qualify for a grant, and furthermore, if they represent I love these adjectives, a substantial or significant part of an industry stream, they get a say-so on whether or not the curriculum you're planning to use and the training you're planning to impart upon people is actually up to standards.
Whatever happened to capitalism? Whatever happened to free enterprise? You know,
all it did was bring us the greatest level of prosperity ever even contemplated in America, you know, in world history.
I totally understand that. We got to take a break. Listen, we're going to get Brett back on the show. He's a good guy. He's a very interesting guy. Brett, thanks so much.
This is Big John Lipscomb. World government and all its tyranny is rapidly approaching. The choices you make today will determine your level of suffering and freedom tomorrow. I have two solutions for you, so you and your family can stay strong and free. PatriotFood.com. 135 pounds of long-lasting dehydrated food in 25 varieties. That's one-fourth the cost of many freeze-dried offers of the same weight. And survivalistseeds.com, where I just released my best offer ever, 7,000 heirloom vegetable seeds, 30 varieties of vegetables. That's over 4 pounds of seed, and I ship it in a time capsule so they will last decades. And now you can get a second for a $60 savings. PatriotFood.com and survivalistseeds.com. Anything else is just a copycat.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carrollstove. Carrollstove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. Carrollstove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You are listening to the final segment of the two-hour version of the Cornell Economics Report. Okay, I am chatting right now with three very interesting individuals. They have been guests on my program for numerous years, a number of times. Going to start out with Yale Simpson. Yale is the chairman of a company called Exeter Resources. As most of our listeners are aware, my wife and I and daughter shot some video for Exeter 2 weeks ago down in Chile and then over in Argentina. Joining us is Rick Ackerman. Rick is a newsletter writer out of Colorado, Boulder, if I'm not mistaken. The banner for your newsletter is on our site, and every fifth week or so, you come up as the newsletter writer of the week. And then Larry Amernick. Larry's a very interesting guy. He has been on actually my live radio show before. Larry is, among other things, a historian. We have talked about a lot of issues that are affecting events around the world today, and he's an interesting guy. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about gold. Is there any reason to buy gold today? Is there any reason not to buy gold today? Rick, I'm going to start with you. What do you think?
Good reasons to buy, and it might not seem so urgent right now, but on the day when it becomes urgent, you're going to wish you had some. This mining show has been very enjoyable. A lot of good stories here, but it's obvious that the public hasn't converged on the gold world and a lot of these great stocks just begging to be bought. A lot of great bargains. And there's plenty of interest, but it's not quite a mania, so I think it's a good time to get in.
You know, it isn't quite a mania yet, but I have to tell you guys, I think we're, my personal opinion is we're right around the corner from that. Yale, what do you think? You've been in this business longer than I have, man.
Well, I don't know. I hear that people are, in fact, responding to the advertisements, and they're sending, they're putting the jewelry in an envelope and sending it off to somebody and hoping they get some money back for it. It's a reflection of what their demand there is for the physical product. And as we were saying earlier, it's interesting that we're not yet seeing that amount of demand yet in the equities. And I heard Rob McEwen saying this morning that that demand is in the process of being unlocked. And when it does, it should be pretty ballistic. We'll see what happens.
What's going to happen when this demand's unlocked in your mind, Rick? I think the demand began to be unlocked when the folks in the Far East started to buy. I mean, India came out and purchased. I'm a little rummy right now because we've been doing this for a number of hours today. But what did the Indians come out and buy? 200 billion tons?
No, 200 tons, which is about 6 million ounces.
Out of the market. They weren't even looking to get a deal, so to speak. They came out and bought it right out of the market. I mean, Rick, something's going on.
And, you know, when you hear that, you think that they're only out there announcing it because they've accumulated quite a bit of it earlier.
Yeah, well, possibly. I think they're buying it personally because I think that they're looking at what the Chinese are saying. They're looking at the fact that mainland China really wants to get off of the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, go to a basket of currencies. The mainland Chinese they're on record as saying we should consider an asset-based currency.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's a fact. Gold is a currency right now. We still are having trouble getting our head around it. But I think if you just say gold is a currency, then you can say, well, that's why they're buying it. That's as simple as that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Henry Kissinger was being interviewed a couple weeks ago by Charlie Rose. And I listen to Charlie Rose a lot. And Kissinger is on the record on his show as saying the mainland Chinese are now, in terms of the world order, they're tied for the top with the United States. I never thought in my lifetime I'd hear that. I think the mainland Chinese are soon going to surpass the economic power of the United States. Rick, any comments?
Well, they're moving in that direction. You may remember from 20 years ago that when the Japanese were riding high, they were out buying Pebble Beach, for one, Rockefeller Center. They bought a lot of very expensive French paintings. And you don't hear anything like that about Chinese buying. They're actually out locking up natural gas supplies with deals they're doing in Iran. They're doing deals with Venezuela. They're locking up as much in the natural resource sector as they can. And, boy, when we come out of this recession, they're going to have everything they need to dominate us economically.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I really do. I, you know, Larry, you're not really a financial guy, if I'm not mistaken. You are a financial.
I publish a financial newsletter. I'm the vice president of the Technical Security Analysts of San Francisco.
I didn't know that. Okay, so tell me about your newsletter first.
Okay, I basically forecast more than 40 global markets. I do intermarket relationships. And I forecast interest rates, wars.
Wars?
Wars.
Okay, I have to ask you a question.
I forecast.
What are your feelings?
Crisis in 97, and I've also forecast the downfall, the top of the market in 2007.
What is your view? And I don't want to say next week, next month, but let's take a horizon of 24 months, 2 years.
Okay.
What do you think about the gold market?
It can't be done right now. We're basically in a very opaque situation when it comes to forecasting.
Yeah.
The purchase by India of 200 tons of gold is not really an economic decision. It's basically India is looking to its northwest, and it's seeing Pakistan basically disintegrating. And it really needs gold to basically have in case they basically have to start making major arms purchases.
And you think basically, as Yale mentioned earlier and as your friend Rick mentioned earlier, so you're starting to view gold as evolving into what it was, what it has been for thousands of years and hasn't been since 1971, since Nixon took us off the gold standard, but you're seeing it become basically a monetary thing.
Only in South Asia, because in South Asia, women wear their bank account.
Oh, yeah.
It basically, gold is used, gold and silver are used as protections in case a woman's husband throws them out and they really have no other recourse. And what they do is they basically wear their dowry. They wear their protection, financial protection.
Yeah. Interesting point. You know, I guess, Rick, you mentioned this earlier, but, you know, we were talking about the mania hasn't started yet or whatever. I don't totally disagree with you, but I disagree with you in a sense. And what I mean by that is I'm seeing more and more of the average people out there in the world becoming very aware of gold and its value. Am I crazy?
I put a link in my newsletter. It's out Monday, or actually the one was out Friday,
yeah,
by a blogger named John Gold, and he talks about the day the dollar died, and he means literally in a day it's going to happen. And it's interesting because a lot of people were scrambling at that point, but he has a good a good imagination about the things that are going to take off, such as the stock markets in Australia, New Zealand, places where natural resources are still important. And I think people sense that. I mean, it's not as though the average investor is on top of a lot of junior exploration stocks. You don't see them percolating quite as much as you might expect. But the day will come, and you really have to be on top of these things now. I think the interest is slowly growing, first from the newsletter world, but the mainstream press is starting to pick up on it. And that's what it'll take. It'll take, Fortune and Forbes magazine writing about gold, but with the metal pushing up toward 1,200, it's not going to stay a secret for that much longer.
Oh, I would agree 100%. I mean, is it going to stay a secret in your mind, Yale?
No, but what I'm finding really interesting in our space is the investment demand in Exeter is very much by hedge funds.
Mm-hmm.
All the new volume, it's all hedge funds. So when I looked at our company 2 years ago and say, who are the major shareholders? Well, you would see the Lexus Fraud Asset Management. You would see Sun Valley Gold. You might see Gold 2000, J.P. Morgan Precious Metals Fund, the guys who really understand the space. Today, our volume is driven by hedge funds. Now, I'm not sure how that translates to the guy on the street, but the fact is that our trading profile has changed dramatically and largely since September 1st.
Yeah. And basically, this concept of basically of hedge fund-driven speculation goes right into that theme that we have a two-tiered economic world of a small group of people that have critical mass to basically speculate in gold, and the rest of the population are spectators.
There you have it. Words of wisdom from Larry Amernick, my friend Rick Ackerman, and, of course, Yale Simpson. Going to see you folks next week. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm sure you did. These comments are valuable. Have a great weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced by Paul Warren for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin and Paul Warren, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm pleased to announce a completely new and exciting way to listen to your favorite GCN Live program on your telephone. Simply by calling 712-338-7200, you'll be hearing your favorite GCN Live programs in seconds. Tune into all of our channels. I have made sure that everyone who wants to hear GCN Live will have the opportunity to do so. Call to listen at 712-338-7200. That's 712-338-7200. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.